Okay. Advent is a time for preparing for Christ, for Christmas. Our Advent wreath is a sign of Christmas is near. Last week, we lit the candles of hope and peace. Today, we light the candles for joy. The birth of Jesus is a time for joyous celebration. God's people had waited and prepared for the birth of the Messiah for many years. Then when Jesus was born, it was such a joyful event that the angels sang about it.
Move together. Our God of love, as we await the celebration of the birth of your Son, help us share our joy with all people by the things we do and say. Amen. Good morning, everybody. Thank you to Ben and Craig. Craig is Ben's father by now, in case you don't know him, and he's come to help us out today. This morning we enter the third Sunday of Advent, and we thank Ben and Craig for coming and reminding us that the birth of Jesus is a joyous celebration. So far we've heard in Advent that Jesus brings us hope, peace and now joy. Can anybody say amen to that? Can you even say it louder? Amen. We had this discussion, is it amen or amen? Now, we're going to sing amen. I call it amen. And this is actually a medley of songs, but every tune that we sing is going to be familiar to you. And at the end of it, we're actually going to go into a round. The men are going to sing one part and the women are going to sing another. And let's see how we go. And with God's joy, even if we mess it up, it doesn't matter. Please stand as we sing. Here we go. Start singing, keep singing it over and over, okay? And it goes like this. Go tell it on the mountain. 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 Well done. should sing it over and over again. Now, women, you come back in with amen.
Come to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray that you will lay your healing hands upon all of those who are sick. We beg you to have compassion on all those who are suffering so that they may be delivered from their circumstances. Let's pause now and bring to the Lord those that are on your heart. We remember Jesus saying, if you want to become my followers, you must leave yourself behind, and day after day, you must take up your cross and follow me. To love someone else's life more than our own, to reach out and support another's weakness when we ourselves are failing, to give another person hope when we are close to despair, and offer forgiveness when we are unforgiven. This is what you ask of us, Lord, and it's hard. hard to give when we are poor, hard to help when we need help, hard to encourage when we are discouraged. Yet Jesus loved when he was hated. He forgave when he was crucified. He won eternal life and the whole world by his own death. It's faith in him you call us, not in ourselves, for we are not asked to take up untravelled way or choose our direction blindfold. You have set the crucified Christ before us as risen Lord and promise, and we share his life. So Lord, with this assurance, we will make our decisions to love others better than ourselves, to give them life and hope, whatever the cost. We will press on knowing that you are with us, leading us to the fullness of life, which cannot be taken away. Go with us then into the troubled and perplexed world in which we too will be troubled and perplexed. Go with us and help us to calm trouble and heal perplexity, carrying on our shoulders the cross in our hearts, the joy of service, until Christ's work is complete and you are glorified forever. Let's join together as we...
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us today our daily bread.
Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us.
Save us from the time of trial,
and deliver us from the evil one. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you, Ross. How many days to Christmas now? Not a lot. Just a reminder that we have a Christmas Eve service here at 7 p.m. That's Wednesday the 24th, and Thursday, Christmas Day, is 9 a.m. and it'll be a reasonably short service, both of them. There are flyers in the foyer still to be distributed to the area, so if you could grab some of those and go for a walk, that'd be great. Also, there are copies of the congregational meeting minutes that we had last week, was it? 30th of November. Sitting out in the foyer as well, if you want to catch up on what was said there. Each year we support the Christmas Bowl, and that supports many causes. You'll read about it in your grapevine. And of course there are envelopes in the foyer as well to donate towards that, if you wish to. This Wednesday the 17th will be the last grapevine of the year, and it will recommence on Sunday the 1st of February next year. And thank you, Colleen, for all the great work you do. I believe the carols event is at Cottage Grove, David, is this Wednesday, the 17th, 10 a.m. Oh, 10:45. Yeah, okay. And everybody's welcome there. And next Sunday, the 21st, Malcolm is back preaching again, so that'll be a good day indeed. Just looking at the time, I reckon we've got an opportunity here to share. What are you looking forward to for Christmas Day? Anybody want to share that? What's going to happen in your household on Christmas Day, and are you looking forward to it?
Chaos.
Cates?
Organised or disorganised? Family time.
How many, David, in chaos?
Just have two on Christmas Day.
Two, okay.
Two dynamic.
So we'll be chaos. Anybody else? What are you looking forward to on Christmas Day?
Being with family.
That's great, isn't it? Anybody not going to be with family? No? Well, Sue and I had our Christmas last night with our boys and grandchildren, because one's going to the Gold Coast and one's going to their in-laws on Christmas Day, so we had a great time at the Broadway Hotel. Good food, I'd recommend it too. Anybody else? I just want to give that opportunity. What are you looking forward to on Christmas Day? All good? Yes, Ben? You're going to have your children. Hallelujah. That's God's working in on Ben's case big time. So that's great.
My daughter-in-law has organised a family dance-off.
A family dance-off?
So each family has to produce a dance.
Oh, my God.
The nanny and poppy are the judge. And unless they want to do an item as well.
Are you?
I've got a sore knee.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to ask you to remain seated. We're going to sing a song, and you'll recognise the tune, but the words are going to be different. But if you can get an opportunity to sing along with it, please do, okay? And do remain seated. There we go. A young girl, Mary, many years ago, found a favour with God, you know, a plan from God.
There will be no donkey, and especially not a little donkey. I'm 8.5 months pregnant. I couldn't swing my leg over its back. If I sat sideways, I might fall off. And if I stayed on, it might trigger my contractions. Now, if Joseph could afford a camel, but he can't afford a camel. So I'm just going to have to walk. 80 miles, 80 pregnant miles to register to pay the poll tax. I don't know what it'd be like. And since Joseph left when he was only very small, I don't think he remembers either.
Eighty miles was the way to go. Royal cargo in the front, you know. Mary heard the angel Gabriel, and we'll call her child Jesus. She is the Lord's servant. Found favor with God that day. She is the Lord's servant.
You. Would any of you who are women want to walk 80 miles when your time had almost come to give birth, who knows where, to a child who is a source of consternation before he's even born and is likely to be a source of controversy in the years to come? They say when I was a girl, I used to like playing jokes. The neighbours would laugh. And they'd say to my mother, "Where does she get a sense of humour from?" When I think of the trouble that Joseph and I are in at the moment, I have to smile to myself because I realise I must have got my sense of humour from my maker.
the Lord's servant, found favor with God that day.
Bring the offering monies forward now, thanks. Has anybody got children overseas? Colleen? Cheryl? I don't know your name, sorry. A long way overseas?
New Zealand?
Canada? America? Father, we thank you, Lord, for your gifts that you've given us, the monies, the food, the housing, the cars, everything belongs to you, Lord. And you so richly bless us with it, especially here in Australia. We are a blessed nation, there's no doubt about it. And we just want to offer back some of that, Lord, that you gave us, so that this church can be a minister to the community. You've blessed us with Pantry 152, Lord, and the reaching out to those people that come that are in need. Help us to use monies and gifts towards that and other ministries in this church as well. And we ask your blessing upon that. And in Jesus' precious name, amen. Thanks, guys. Sharon's going to bring the reading to us now. Thanks.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Sharon.
The first reading comes from Romans 8, verses 15 to 17. So you have not received the Spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba Father, for his Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. Since we are his children, we are heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share his glory, we must also share his suffering. The next Bible reading comes from Matthew 13, verses 45 to 46. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant on the lookout for choice pearls. When he discovered a pearl of great value, he sold everything he owned and bought it. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thanks, Sharon. I've already asked the question, is there an expectation in the air because of Christmas? And here we are so close to the day, and what are people thinking? Could it be that you might be expecting something special? Have you put in an order for a special gift at all? As I was thinking about Christmas, I felt God was asking me, what's my expectation? And to share that with you. I mean, there are the obvious things, like things that you want, things that you want to give, all the family get together. Will Uncle John turn up on that day? Or maybe it could be, I just hope I won't be alone on Christmas Day. Now, I went through all those things, but it didn't really answer the question, what is my expectation? So the next port of call, really, the obvious port of call, was consult the dictionary. Have I even got the right definition of the word expectation? And this is what Mr. Oxford said. As long as I get this thing going. Anticipation, awaiting, anticipation, prospects of inheritance, probability of things to come. That's the explanation for the word expectation. Now I looked at it and the word anticipation really stood out to me. Anticipation means considering something before the due time. Now I think I mentioned before, Sue and I have 8 kids, including their partners between us, plus 7 grandchildren and some good friends. So we have to think about Christmas literally from January and start saving. And then shopping from July-ish onwards, because Christmas is not cheap, is it? There's no doubt about it. So all that was anticipated well before the day. Our gatherings are quite a few people, so that has to be well organised before the day. And I wonder, though, how many people have children living interstate? I've already asked that question. What sort of anticipation do you guys have? There are those that may have lost a loved one recently, and it doesn't feel good, does it? On Christmas Day, it's sad, I guess, and I'm sorry for them. You may have heard people say, well, it's just one day after all. The day after is business as usual, and it's as if it hasn't even happened. Have you ever said that to yourself before? Actually, I have once. We meet to celebrate Jesus' birthday on Christmas Day. But let me ask you an odd question. Did Jesus celebrate his own birthday? You know, the answer to that can share some light on our own celebration of Christmas Day. Now, there's only one mention in the whole Bible of anybody celebrating their birthday, and that was by a pharaoh, the king of Egypt, which he probably organised himself, and I'm sure quite selfishly. There's no mention in the Bible of a Jewish person celebrating their birthday, because they don't. What they do, however, is celebrate the anniversary of a deceased person's death. They call that Yahzit, and it involves people meeting and recognising what the deceased person had achieved in their life. Just imagine if I died tomorrow, and in 12 months' time you all gather together to remember what I may have achieved in my lifetime. To me, that is a real celebration, assuming you can actually find something good to think about. Jesus didn't celebrate his birthday. Jewish people don't. But if you and I met on the anniversary of Jesus' death and relived all that he did in his earthly life, that would mean everything to us. And of course, we know exactly when he died, and it's called Easter. I personally have no problem with meeting on December the 25th. I love the fact that our kids get so much joy from receiving and giving. The fellowship is great, and it seems even the world wants peace on that day. Well, nearly always. I think a person would be way too dogmatic to say, don't do Christmas anymore. But what does concern me, though, is this. Where is Christ in Christmas? Some shops aren't even allowed to have the nativity scene anymore. Some people aren't allowed to say Merry Christmas anymore. That's saying we want Christmas but not Christ, which is sort of weird, really. And on the other hand, people are saying Merry Christmas and yet don't understand it at all. Look, if there is the slightest chance that someone finds the Lord because of Christmas, then that is terrific. And I think it is our calling to work towards that. But to be honest, I want more expectation than just wondering if the roast is cooked or not. And I'm not being flippant there. That is important, I know. But to me, Christmas means much more than just the one day. God asked me what is my expectation leading up to Christmas, and to share that with you. This is my genuine answer. Please, Lord, I so desire that people will know Jesus completely, passionately, and sincerely on every single day of the year and recognise their own worth through him. Signed, Bill. To the person that may be alone on Christmas Day, to those that might not see their kids, to those that have to work, to those that can't get on with other family members, to those that are sick or depressed, and to those that have an abundance of family and everything that goes with it. And I say this really carefully, your fulfillment does not rely on one day of the year. It relies on the saving grace of Jesus Christ. the one who gave his all for you now and for every day. That is my expectation. And in anticipation, I pray we all know that, including those watching online today. I've known people that have said or thought their life was a failure because of the rigours of Christmas Day. Whereas the reality is, if we truly want to celebrate Jesus Christ, that happens every day in our relationship with him. Maybe there are folk that aren't sure of their relationship with Jesus. That could be something to contemplate in due time. But let me ask, what does Jesus think of you? Have you ever asked yourself that? What does Jesus think of you? There's this wonderful parable where Jesus tells us what he thinks of us. And parables being parables mean that they can be applied in different ways. This is from Matthew 13, 45 to 46. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he had found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. This says a lot about our relationship between Jesus and us. What we need to realise first, though, is the man that found the pearl wasn't just walking down the beach and happened to stumble across it. No, he was a merchant. He was a person that spent much of his life in the pearl business and an expert in it. So he knew the real value of the pearl he came across. And when he found it for sale, what did he do? He went out and sold everything he had to purchase it. Imagine that. Your husband or wife comes home one day and says, "Honey, I've sold the car." You're shocked and you say, "You sold the car? Why did you do that?" "Well," you say, "I came across a pearl." "Just one pearl," you say? "Yes," he replied. To which you reply, "Well, thank God, at least we still have a roof over our heads." You know what's coming next, don't you? "Oh yeah, I sold that too." You'd kill him, wouldn't you? Seriously, or her. The merchant knew the pearl was worth more than everything he had in life. Now please try and imagine this. You are the pearl, uniquely beautiful and extremely valuable. You know that pearls are formed as a result of a process of suffering. A grain of sand lodges in an oyster. It becomes an irritant to the oyster, so the oyster surrounds it with pearl, covers the bad thing with something beautiful. Maybe you've been through suffering. Maybe you have questioned whether God loves you. Maybe you have thought, "I'm not worth much." I want to tell you that's not true. You are so important that God gave his only son Jesus to die on the cross for you specifically. In that parable that we just read, Jesus is the merchant. Jesus sold all that he had. He left all the riches of heaven and became a carpenter's son. He became a travelling preacher. And when he died on the cross, he literally owned nothing. He was buried in borrowed linen in a borrowed tomb. The Apostle Paul says, "You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes," which is our sakes, "he became poor, that through his poverty we might become rich." Jesus sold everything he had. He gave up everything for you. Jesus is the merchant. You are the pearl. Please turn to the person next to you and say, "You're a pearl." That is my expectation for Christmas, that we know that. And I wait in great anticipation that we know it for real, not just words on a screen, but here in our hearts. It is a love story, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. God truly loves us. Now, I know Christmas is not always like you see on the midday movies. Things happen, and it doesn't always feel great. But I've always marvelled at how God can give us peace during a hard time. It doesn't even make earthly sense when you experience that, but it sure makes godly sense. We can still know the amazing love of Jesus through hard times. So whatever Christmas means to you this year, if it's tough, rejoice. If it's happy, rejoice. No matter what it is, rejoice. The pearl merchant, Jesus, chose you, the valuable pearl, to be here today or to watch online. Jesus is the merchant, you are the pearl. My expectation of Christmas is that we leave here today knowing our true value in Christ, our pearl value, if you want. And whatever Christmas brings, that truth will remain every day. True? Can I have the band come forward, please? I think as we take that in, there's this wonderful hymn. Thanks, Sandy. Wonderful hymn that we sing that speaks the truth of what God really did and how Jesus was born, gave everything for us and loved us. And as we sing that song, please allow that truth to be real in our hearts today. You know the song, it's called Silent Night. Please remain seated as we sing. Allow the Holy Spirit to minister to us in his own special way. Just as a warning, the third verse is an instrumental to contemplate as we go through this song.
All is bright, round.
silent night.
Marge, can you come forward, please?
Join with me in prayer. Lord God, we are amazed at your love which is poured into our hearts through your Spirit. We thank you that we can turn to you in any moment and know that you hear. And know that you will meet us at our point of need. Lord God, for everyone here, life is different. Different things happening, some really good, some really painful, some really uncertain. But we know that you can help us through all those moments. That you have done so much for us to regard us as pearls, the beauty of pearls. Lord, you are amazing and your love is incredible, and we stand tall because we know that you love us and will help us to be who you want us to be as we live out our lives. Lord God, as we come to this closeness to Christmas, may we be open to your love and open to sharing that love with those who do not know the difference you can make in their lives. So, Lord God, thank you for this worship time this morning. Thank you for the obvious power of your Spirit as this service has come together. We just want to say thank you, we love you, and we want to share your love with every person that we meet, because without that, life can be really hard. So, Lord God, thank you. Hold us tight. Take us through this Christmas season with whatever is there in our hearts and in our minds, and help us to know that you have been the one to see us through. Lord God, there's lots of words. Lots of things that could be said, but I just say thank you now on behalf of every person in this sanctuary. Thank you for what you have done for us so that we can truly live. And we thank you in the precious name of that tiny baby who became the saviour of the world. Amen.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child.
Today, and that you have recharged our souls, recharged our hearts for the love and the joy that you so richly give us. And we pray, Lord, that leading up to Christmas Day, that your peace and your joy and your hope will be with us as we go through. We pray this in your precious Son's name, Jesus Christ. Have a great week, everybody. Yeah.
Happy, happy day. Sing for joy at Christmas. Fill the air with gladness. All the earth, to us the Son is given. He leaves his throne in heaven. God with us.